Hello, my name is Father Tom Dalton. I'm the parish priest of River Chapel Corktown. And if you're familiar with the writings of Thomas Keating, Thomas Merton, St. John of the Cross or St. Teresa of Avila, you'll be very familiar with the background or the concept of what I'm going to talk about today, which is the method of centering prayer as taught by Father Thomas Keating. Now, when we think of prayer, we often think of using words or some kind of formula that we may have learned either at home or in school or from childhood. But prayer is about much more than just words. It's really about a relationship with God. And this method of centering prayer, it's a way of fostering that relationship, really building it up. And as we know from our own human relationships, these need to be two-sided. We can't just be doing all the talking. We need to listen as well. So this method of prayer is a way of helping us to listen. And it really presents an old teaching in an up-to-date way. So the method itself, it's based on the scriptures from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 6. And that goes, when you pray, go into your inner room and close the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees all that is done in secret will reward you. Now, at the time of Jesus, the houses were only single-roomed buildings. So the rooms were multifunctional. Everything happened in the one place. You gathered as a family. You might have got shelter there. You would have maybe eaten there, slept there. So when Jesus is talking about going into your private room, what's he really talking about? And it's really about the private room that's inside in your heart. The very centre of your being, the place where God lives. And that's where the word centering prayer comes from. We're opening to God at the very centre of our being, opening our heart and our mind. And so when we go into this private room then, what are we meeting or who are we meeting? And it is this loving, caring God that Jesus revealed to us. This God that loves us without any strings attached, unconditionally. And we're there as a beloved child, deeply loved by God. God who knows me inside out, knows me better than I know myself. So we're really we're there in God's presence. So this prayer is really around being rather than doing. We place ourselves into God's presence. St. Gregory the Great in the 4th century, he described it as a resting in God. So we open ourselves to God's presence and action within us and around us. And then this fosters the relationship that we have with God, or we want to build with God. So as we go about our bits and pieces, then we just have a very simple method that we use. And I'll be talking a little bit more about that method in a few moments. But first of all, we're going to listen to the Bright Street Folk Group and Draw Me.
Draw me to your presence, O Lord. Bring me into that holy place, so I may see your glory, the beauty of your face. Draw me to your presence, O Lord. Before your throne.
The method of centering prayer has four very straightforward, simple guidelines. And they were devised by three Trappist monks, Thomas Keating, William Menninger and Basil Pennington. And as I mentioned, it was a way of trying to bring in the teaching from the ancient fathers into a more kind of contemporary framework that we might be able to understand ourselves and that we will be able to practice in our everyday life. So the first guideline is that we choose a sacred word as a symbol of our intention to consent to God's presence and action within us. This prayer is about, as I said, our openness to God's presence and action within us and around us. So we are consenting to that. It's the desire of our heart. And so it's really a prayer of the heart, a prayer of faith, pure faith. So we choose the sacred word. Generally, we suggest a small word, one or two syllables, and preferably a word that doesn't have any huge inherent meaning for you. But in this particular prayer, the word is sacred because of what it symbolizes. And it symbolizes your consent, your openness to God's presence and action within you. So we would often suggest to people, just take a few moments in quiet, just ask the Holy Spirit to inspire you or to raise up a word within you that for you will be your sacred word. So it could be something like Jesus, Lord, Abba, Father, Mother, Peace, Listen, Yes, any word like that. Whatever is going to symbolize for you your original intention, your desire to be open to God's presence and action within you. So the next guideline then is that sitting comfortably and with your eyes closed, settle briefly and silently introduce the sacred word as a symbol of your intention, as a symbol of your consent to God's presence and action within you. So by sitting comfortably, what we mean is that you sit in a position preferably that doesn't encourage sleep. If you happen to go asleep, that may be a different thing because maybe that's just your body telling you that you need sleep. But that you would sit in a straight back chair, you'd put your feet on the ground. Sometimes people like to place their hands on their laps and it may be turning upwards or just resting. And with the eyes closed. So basically, you're trying to sit in a position where your body is not going to be a discomfort to you during this time of prayer. And then by closing your eyes, you're just maybe cutting out other things that may pull you away from your intention, which is to be open to God's presence and action within you. And you're going to be sitting in this way for 20 minutes, so it does need to be a comfortable way for you. We say not with feet on the ground rather than legs crossed, just so that we don't stop the circulation in our body and it becomes uncomfortable. So then the third guideline, when you are engaged with your thoughts or when you become aware of your thoughts, return ever so gently to the sacred word. So thoughts in this particular type of prayer, it's an umbrella term. It covers anything that will pull you away from your original intention, which is to be open to God's presence and action within you. So it may be just kind of like ordinary wanderings of the imagination. So when you settle down to pray and things are just nice and quiet, you might wonder, oh, did I leave the cooker on? Or you might think of what you were doing just last. There are also different thoughts that we might find attracting. You know, they grab our attention. Thomas Keating describes it as if you think of our stream of consciousness as a river, and our thoughts are boats on the river, and you have big boats and small boats and attractive boats and ugly boats, and sometimes we hop onto a boat and we go sailing on down the river. So if we find ourselves doing that, jumping onto that boat, engaging with our thoughts, then we very gently, whenever we become aware of it, just hop back onto the riverbank and just try to pay no attention to the thoughts passing by. So that's an important part of the centering prayer too. It's not about having no thoughts. It's about having detachment from your thoughts. So you're not trying to make your mind a blank, but just for this time of prayer, you're not paying any attention to the thoughts. So the thoughts may also take in feelings or emotions, and sometimes we might even feel twitches in our body, maybe where we're carrying some of those feelings. It may also be sense perceptions. We may hear different noises or sounds going on around us, or we may become more aware of smells or things like that. We may also find that there's memories coming from the past, and they may be from the recent past, they may be from the distant past. And some of those may be pleasant, some of those unpleasant. But whenever we become aware of our thoughts, whenever we engage with the thoughts, we return ever so gently to the sacred word. And that's the key thing. As gentle as a feather falling on a piece of absorbent cotton, that's how gently we return to the practice. And so it's about letting go. We let the thoughts come, we let them go. We just pay no attention to them during the prayer time itself. So we resist no thought, we retain no thought, we react emotionally to no thought, we return ever so gently to the sacred word. And then our fourth guideline, at the end of the prayer period, we remain in silence with your eyes closed for a few moments. And this is really to allow the effects of the prayer to come into our daily life, our daily activities. But it also gives us just a little time just to slowly come out of the prayer time and maybe the deep place that we have been. So if we were doing this as part of a group, and sometimes we do that, maybe the leader of the group might just very slowly recite the Our Father, just to bring those few minutes to completion. So that's really the method, a very simple method in its presentation. The practice of it is a little bit different. Sometimes the prayer period might feel like it's a really nice, restful time. Sometimes you can feel you are going to be bombarded with thoughts, and you wonder, is it a waste of time me just sitting here, because I just seem to be constantly returning to the sacred word and I don't seem to be resting at all. The really important thing to remember in those days or those times is that this prayer is around what your intention is. What's the desire of your heart? And your intention or your desire is to be open to God and to let God do whatever God wants to do with you during this time. And sometimes we'll be aware of what God is doing, sometimes we're not aware. But the quality of the prayer time is up to God. We're here with as little effort on our part as possible, just giving God the time to let God do whatever God wants to do with us. Healing us, shaping us, moulding us into the people that God wants us to be. So we're going to listen to another piece of music now, and it's from The Pilgrim, Sean Davies, The Pilgrim, and it's called The Deer's Cry.
I arise today through the strength of heaven, light of sun, radiance of moon, splendor of fire, speed of lightning, swiftness of wind, depth of the sea, stability of earth, firmness of rock. I arise today strength to pilot me, God's eye to look before me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me from all who shall
So what will happen if I pray this way for any length of time? Well, the fruits of centering prayer are seen outside of the prayer time itself. Obviously, when we're praying using the method, we're not going to be aware of what's happening. We're letting go of everything, the thoughts and feelings and everything that are there. So the fruits of the prayer time are seen outside of the prayer time itself. And they really come under three basic categories. We have personal growth, relationships, and service of others. So with the personal growth, in this prayer, I'm opening to God. I'm opening my heart and my soul, abandoning myself into God's presence. And I'm letting God do whatever God wants to do with me. Whatever healing needs to take place, or however I need to be molded or shaped into the person that God wants me to be. So what happens over time is that I begin to love and accept myself as God loves and accepts me. And I'm the person that God made me. I'm human, not perfect. I do have my strengths and talents and abilities, but I also have my weaknesses and things that I need to work on. But God will use my gifts and talents and abilities and my weaknesses to do whatever it is that God needs me to do. So really, there's more self-acceptance that comes about. I begin to accept and love myself as I am. That then has an effect on my relationships, because if I begin to accept myself as I am, a human, not perfect, with my gifts, talents, abilities, I then can accept you as you are. And, well, you're not perfect either. You are human. You're the person that God made you. You have your gifts and talents and abilities, but you also have your weaknesses. And so I'll begin to accept that more in you. And that then, in its own turn, it leads us to serve others. We feel moved or compelled in some way to reach out. And God will use us to touch the people that he needs us to touch. And sometimes you might even find it's happening in your life at the moment, but sometimes I find myself somewhere where I didn't plan to be or I didn't expect to be, and yet I was of help to someone or someone was of help to me. And sometimes we refer to those as God instances. You know, that nothing really happens by coincidence. That God places people where God needs them to be. So you can imagine that if we had more people who were really open to God in this way, that it could really change and transform our community and our world to be a very different place. Now, some studies have been done, and it shows that the brain, the relationship part of the brain, develops more with people who practice centering prayer more than anything else. So it just kind of shows in a scientific way too that this is happening. There are also some people who use this particular way of prayer as the 11th step on their 12-step program. So you know there are lots of different 12-step programs out there. So sought through prayer and meditation to improve the conscious contact with God as we understand him. That's part of the 11th step. So some people use that as a way of working their 12-step program. People also find that they're generally calmer, they're more focused, and that they can really prioritize or really see what's really important. So if you would like to know more about Centering Prayer and what we do, you can log on to our website, www.coi.ie. Keep an eye for anything from Contemplative Outreach Ireland. you're happy to join us. We have prayer afternoons in Clonard Church in Wexford at the first Saturday of the month. We also have reflection days. We have weekend retreats and we have week-long retreats. My name is Father Tom Dalton. I'm very happy to be with you here and thanks for listening. God bless.
Send us your spirit, O Lord. Evening enfolds us and holds us to thee. Wake the morning light.
This program was produced by the Christian Media Trust, exclusively for Southeast Radio.